This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. It has been a week since dozens of mothers at the Berks County Residential Center in Pennsylvania have gone on hunger strike, protesting their incarceration. The undocumented women and their children, who range in age from 2 to 16, have been held at the facility that was slated for closure for many months. Homeland Security head Jay Johnson, in a recent statement, claimed that the average length of immigrant detention at such centers was only 20 days. While the women wrote him an open letter challenging his statement, saying that many of them had been held for a year already. The letter read, quote, "We have decided to go on an indefinite hunger strike until we obtain our immediate freedom because all of us left our countries of origin fleeing violence, threats, and corruption." The mothers added, "We will get out, dead or alive." My guest is Erica Almiron. She is the executive director of Juntos, a Philadelphia-based grassroots organization. Welcome to the program, Erica.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Sonali. I appreciate it.
Well, first, explain what the Berks County Residential Center is like to begin with. I understand it was supposed to be closed down in February because its license was revoked because conditions were so bad, and that there was also a case of one of the women being held there who was raped by a guard.
That's correct. So the detention center is a family detention center. I work with Juntos. I'm the executive director. We've been leading the coalition to shut down Berks for almost 2 years now. And we've been working to highlight all of the different kinds of human rights abuses that have happened on the inside. The first one that we got wind of was 2 years ago about this rape of a guard and a 19-year-old in front of an 8-year-old child. And since then, things have just, it's just continued to spiral. We were able to unveil the fact that the detention center it's licensed as a child youth center rather than a detention center. There is no license that they can get in the state of Pennsylvania to fit what they want to do. And so for all those years that they had been open, they were operating under a faulty license. So we were able to push locally to get the license revoked. And then the county commissioners appealed the decision. And what we've been pushing is for the state to, regardless of the appeal, still release the women, considering what kind of abuses that have been happening on the inside. Last summer, there was a work strike. There were over 20 women who had started a work strike because they get paid $1 a day to work as domestic workers and to clean up. There's no line item on their budget for an outside company to come in and clean the facility. They depend on the labor of the women to do it for $1 a day. And the women need that money to get the very little things that they can for their children when they don't want to eat the food or things of that nature. And it's pretty abusive program. And then we've seen all kinds of abuses, shigellosis outbreak with the children, diarrhea with the children, unable to get the CDC or medical departments to go in and figure out what's happening when all of the kids are sick. And so the most recent has been the prolonged detention, the removal of the license. And recently, in the last couple of months, they've actually put up a fence, which means that it's a secure facility. So it has violated all three aspects of family detention. So in our opinion, is operating illegally and should be shut down immediately.
Now, to put this into a national context, essentially there are a handful of these so-called family detention centers nationwide where, under the Obama administration, this administration chose to begin once more a program that the Bush administration had started and then had been shut down, this program to detain, essentially imprison, women with their children who are undocumented. And even though this is technically, you know, they have technically not committed a crime, it's a civil offense when you violate immigration rules. And many of these women, I understand, are in asylum proceedings or would qualify for asylum because they've left very violent situations. So Berks is operating and detaining these women, many of them for a year. Tell us about the ruling by the judge, Judge Dolly G, who recently basically said, this is a violation of their human rights, and the only way you can hold families or people in these centers is if you do it for no more than 20 days, right?
That's correct. So the ruling comes from Judge G. It's called the Flores decision, and it's actually a case that's been around for, I believe, maybe 15, 20 years, which says that it is illegal to detain families. And so what that meant was at the time when it was first done, the family detention had ended. Berks remained open. So Berks was the only place that we know of that was in existence during that time. And people were kind of being funneled in and out as a processing center. And then about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that shifted. And so what was happening is that they were doing prolonged detention. And so a lot of attorneys nationally started to challenge and said, we need to reopen this case and make sure that like it's clear that what we're standing for is like ending family detention. So Judge Xi said that it was that the most that you could hold somebody is 20 days, and that the average should be between just maybe 3 to 5 days to process somebody. We believe that there shouldn't be any detention at all, but 3 to 5 days, 20 days, and 365 days are very different from each other, right?
Right.
And the decision also said that the children shouldn't be held, and also that they should be in, if the facilities are going to operate, that they should be licensed facilities and that they should be unsecure facilities. And so those are important things to notice and to know about the decision because Berks is an unlicensed facility and it is now has a fence around it. And the ones in Texas are also secure. So they're in violation of that. And they're holding women much longer than they should. And they're holding them in inhumane conditions. Hmm. So it is surprising that it's open to this day, considering how many laws are violating.
Right. So Jay Johnson, head of Homeland Security, said, what we've been doing is ensuring the average length of stay at family detention facilities is 20 days or less, and we're meeting that standard. Now, is he just straight up lying, or is he using a clever accounting trick by saying that the average length of stay at family detention centers, meaning that somebody who's there for 40 days, you average that with somebody who's there for 1 day, you get about 20 days. How do you judge what he's saying?
I think he's blatantly lying. I don't know how I don't care actually how he came up with that number. He could be doing tricky math. I don't know. He was in Philadelphia earlier this year for a different reason. He was meeting with community groups essentially because he wanted to do away with our sanctuary city policy. And in that meeting when we were discussing Philadelphia's sanctuary city policy, because he was asking the mayor here locally to reintroduce or to go back to the way that things were, where police and ICE could collaborate. I had also brought up the issues inside of Berks, and he said he didn't know, but that was months ago. So at this point, I'm like, I personally told you what's been happening and how long the women have been staying. So at this point, you're just lying. You know that's not true.
So, and the letter that these women wrote, they signed not with their names to protect their identity, but with the description of themselves in terms of how old their child was and how long they had remained in detention, been kept in detention, most of them 365 days. Let's talk about what it was that they specifically said. This is a very powerful letter. They basically wrote it directly to Jay Johnson, and they said that they are on an indefinite hunger strike and that they want to disprove the information that Jay Johnson put out saying that they're being held for 20 days. How important is this letter? How much attention has it gotten?
I mean, at this point, it's gotten international attention. And I think, as it should be, this is an international crisis issue. This is I don't understand why we aren't seeing this kind of blasted all over the world, because I think that what's happening here is so inhumane and a violation of their human rights. I think the UN should be involved at this point. I think that the power of that letter is that here Jay Johnson goes and says 20 days, and it's literally as if these women don't exist, right? So you can put families far away from their loved ones in the middle of nowhere and then hope that they just disappear and then send them back. And like, that is heart-wrenching for any person to feel like. And I think that that's how these women feel, that they're just being ignored.
Right? I understand a lot of the children are struggling with depression.
Yes. And they have been. I've had an opportunity to meet some of the children before. Currently, I'm not allowed back into the detention center. They won't let me go in to speak to the women, but I've been able to communicate with them in other ways. But when I have been able to meet the children, most of them have been depressed. They're clearly bringing trauma, right? If anything, we should be supplying them with some massive supports. But we're re-traumatizing these children. There's no adequate education inside of there. And there was a case I had maybe a few months ago where a mother told me that their daughter said, "I don't care how you get me out of here. I don't care if it's in a cajon or a box or a coffin, but I need to get out of here." So, yes, I mean, what we're doing is we're traumatizing children, we're making them suicidal.
Right. And these women basically said they were going to leave the center where we will get out alive or dead, is what they wrote in this letter. Now, you mentioned the issue of this being a secured facility. Up until recently, it was unsecured. I think this might be a little bit confusing to our audience. If it's a detention facility, isn't it assumed that it is supposed to be basically like a prison? What does it mean for it to be secured? Are the women technically allowed to leave? If they do leave, does it mean they face arrest? Explain all of that.
So the secure and insecure is confusing, right? Because I think that a secure facility then is clear. It's, you know, it has a gate. You have to, you know, people can't leave. So secure to me is a jail, right? This is no different from that. I don't know what the unsecure is supposed to look, but my guess is that if it's unsecure, then people should be able to leave when they want to because there's no security, right? But at this point, what it's looked like is that when we have gone up to do a rally or a protest or be in solidarity with the women in front of the detention center, 9 out of 10, they'll have a conversation with ICE officials. They'll put them into the cafeteria, and they've told them repeatedly, if they were to leave the premises, because there's no fence, at that time there was no fence around, if they were to leave the premises, that they would be charged as fugitives and then be taken to federal prison. And so what they do is that the intimidation keeps women from leaving, right? So that there's all of this fear that's implemented, so that the women can't leave. The most recent situation in February, when the license was revoked and we went up for a rally, we got really close to each other. The women were on one side of the road, and they made it all the way to the edge of basically the road, and then we went on the other side of the road. And I wound up going over with a couple of other people and just hugging the women because people were crying. And then we got arrested. And so the argument has been, if it's an unsecured facility, then how would you arrest? Because I got arrested for defiant trespassing.
This is
Why would you
meanwhile an
arrest?
this is meanwhile an or a facility that is been slated for closure, is operating illegally. Yet if the women who are held there try to leave, they would be arrested and sent to federal prison, and activists who try to reach the women have already been arrested. Wow.
Yes. And then yesterday, the women messaged me and told me that the day on Saturday they went outside to pray the rosary together, and that they were told that they needed to come back inside and change their clothes because it was too hot. They're so frustrated. They said, "We don't have to do what you're telling us to do." And so then yesterday morning, when they woke up, the doors were locked, and they had a sign up that said, because of the heat warning, they weren't going to be allowed outside till further notice.
Wow.
This is an unsecure facility.
And so they've been on hunger strike for a week now. What does that mean? Is it basically liquids that they're consuming?
I think right now it's just liquids. They're still, I think, on strike from the last I've heard from them. They're still on hunger strike. What it means, I think, is a hunger strike is kind of your last resort in any kind of activist or movement work. It is really hard on people's bodies. And I think that what it signifies is one, how strong these women are, but also what lengths they're willing to go to ensure the freedom, not only for themselves, but for their children.
Right. Now, I understand that that your organization and other activists in Philadelphia have also been pressuring local officials, state officials, because if this facility is operating in Pennsylvania without a license, isn't it the job of state officials to do something about it?
Yes. So the facility was licensed by the Department of Human Services, or in other places it's called Child Welfare. And so we had pushed the head of the Department of Human Services for the state, Ted Dallas, to revoke the license. It took us several months to get there. The license was revoked. It is now being appealed by the commissioners. And so what we've been asking the state is to either, to one, expedite the process, because we believe that there's no reason for them to win, and that ultimately they're going to have to shut down Berks, but also that in the interim, there's no reason to keep the women detained. They all, mostly all of them, I would say 95% of them, have family in the U.S. that they can stay with. So there's no reason for them to have to be detained when they can stay with their loved ones. And also that the inhumane conditions should be reason enough to remove them immediately.
Right. And this is what was the situation before these detention centers began to be used as semi-permanent indefinite detention centers, that immigrants who were applying for asylum were allowed to stay with family members and relatives in the U.S. And this is the Obama administration, not a Republican administration, doing this. Shocking and hypocritical, given all the pro-immigrant stances that the Democratic Party claims. Erica, given a website for your organization, and also what sort of solidarity do you hope for from our audience with these mothers?
I mean, I think that right now, I think the things that we could do is we could ask community members. We have a petition on our website that you could sign that goes directly to Ted Dallas. And that is on www.vamosjuntos, VAMOSJUNTOS.org. And look for our petition online, and then I could send the link and it could go up. But sign the petition. Make sure that they know that the whole country is watching them. Call into ICE here in Philadelphia. Ask to speak to Thomas Decker. Tell him that he can release the women whenever he wants. It's up to him. He can sign their paperwork. They can go home to their families. I think that those are the two main things. If Obama is in your neighborhood, put up a sign. Tell him that he needs to release the women. If you're thinking about Hillary Clinton and this issue, she needs to be pressured as well. You know, you can't be a feminist who's running for the presidential as the first woman president and yet sit idly by and have women and children locked up in detention centers. That's not very feminist, right? So I think if you're gonna stand for women, you have to stand for all women. So I think those are the things that people could definitely do.
Erica, I wanna thank you so much for the work you do and for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Erica Almeron is the executive director of Juntos, which is a Philadelphia-based grassroots organization. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.